speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Someone sent me a reminder of some things I already knew that was entitled, Did You Know? Did you know that as you walk up the steps to the building which houses the United States Supreme Court, you can see near the top of the building a row of the world's lawgivers, and each one is facing one in the middle who's facing forward with a full frontal view. And it's Moses, and he's holding the Ten Commandments. Did you know that as you enter the Supreme Court courtroom, two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved in each lower panel? Did you know as you sit inside the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the Ten Commandments? Did you know that these are Bible verses etched in stone all over the federal buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C.? Did you know that James Madison, the fourth president, known as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement, I quote, "We have staked the whole of all our political institutions upon the capacity of mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, to sustain ourselves." And did you know that Patrick Henry, the patriot and founding father of our country, said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on a religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." End of quote. Did you know that every session of Congress begins with a prayer by a paid preacher whose salary has been paid by the taxpayers, and that has been done since the year 1777? Did you know that 52 of the 55 founders of the Constitution were members of an established church in the colonies? And did you know that Thomas Jefferson worried that the courts would overstep their authority instead of interpreting the law and would begin making law and an oligarchy of the rule of a few over many? And did you know the first Supreme Court Justice John Jay said, quote, "Americans should select and prefer Christians as their rulers"? So then, can you tell me how then have we gotten to the point that everything we have done in America for 220 years is now suddenly wrong and unconstitutional? And I hope you'll realize that there are many things that ought to be of concern to the Christians more than just the economic situation. Yet each of us will vote on some values. There are individuals that value prosperity above all else. And there will be many who are voting primarily for economic reason. And the principle applies across the board to other people who will vote on some values. For some, it will be educational reasons, it will be security reasons, or organizational reasons, or maybe age reasons. And we admit that all of these are valid concerns, and all of them play a role in how one decides to vote. But the question is not the validity of these values, rather the question is whether these values should be the decisive criteria that a Christian uses in determining for whom he will vote. You see, in Christianity, values should be drawn from the Bible. And the Bible is sufficient to inform in our beliefs and guide us in the political process. The Bible teaches that God is the sovereign creator of the universe, that life begins at conception, every person is created in the image of God, each individual is unique, men and women are equal yet different, and the Bible is the sovereign rule in teaching us that marriage is a covenant between one man and one woman for life, that Christ died for the sins of all humanity, and that one day Christ will judge all the people, will stand before the God of creation to give an account of the deeds done in the body. Well, how Christians ought to vote in such matters as the sanctity of human life, the sanctity of marriage, the dignity of every individual, is something that ought to be considered. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be not afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. So recognizing that authority is ordained of God, and that as citizens we have a right in selecting who is going to rule over us. The Bible further informs us in 1 Peter chapter 2, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Again, that reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 down through verse 17. Recognizing then that government is ordained of God and that we're to pray for the leaders in government, it's equally right that we use our privilege as American citizens to seek to pick or select those who will rule over us, who more closely come to respecting the Bible, respecting the things that the Bible presents as being sacred, such as marriage, such as human life. But some may have the idea, well, since the Bible also says that it's the Most High God that ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that He appointeth over it whomsoever He will, that we just let things take their course. It doesn't really matter whether I vote or not. After all, God's behind it. Well, that is true. But that's a statement made to King Nebuchadnezzar over the first kingdom of Babylon, present-day Iraq. And Daniel is informing him that because of his pride and his arrogance, he's going to be reduced to the level of an animal for 7 years. And then when he comes out of that madness, he will come to understand this truth. And I'm reading the latter part of Daniel chapter 5, verse 21, till he, that's Nebuchadnezzar, knows that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. But it's still right that Christians use their privilege and their prerogative to seek to elect and seek to vote for those who do have respect for biblical values. For you see, we're not only voting for who will be the president and who will be senators and representatives, but we're also voting for who will probably be the next to be appointed to the Supreme Court. And we're living at a time when the interpreters of some of the laws have begun to use their power to write laws, at a time when same-sex marriage is being promoted and perhaps will be legalized, as has already been done in some states, and where perverted lifestyle is sanctioned and encouraged. I was reading an article just the other day that there's now more than 2,000 members of an organization known as the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Educational Network, or the acronym GLSEN. And this organization is pushing for a number of things on their agenda, such as getting elementary school children questioning about their sexuality. And they say the median age at which youth understand that they are homosexual or lesbian is now the age of 13. They further state that each of us should have the freedom to explore our sexual orientation and find our known unique expression of lesbian, bisexual, gay, straight, or any combination of these, end of quote. And kids are being lured into experimentation. The Bible is very clear that human beings raised in a godless environment start experimenting comfortably with all kinds of behavior. And this organization, along with many others, are demanding tolerance, and not only tolerance, but acceptance of their lifestyle. And they began now to look at the Bible as a hate book because it condemns such perverted lifestyle. And they're trying to inoculate young people from prejudice so that they don't grow up persecuting homosexuals. And sadly, kids are hearing, too many cases, only one viewpoint, and that's a godless, unbiblical viewpoint. They're told to just embrace the lifestyle of their choice because if you have attraction to the same sex, then you'll always be gay. And sadly, too often Christian students hear little or no feedback at home to counteract this message that desensitizes them. Christian children and young people are struggling with an unwanted attraction to members of the same sex, need to hear Christian compassion rather than condemnation, and they need to be encouraged to look beyond that. Well, there are many issues facing our country, great moral issues that should concern each of us. But for today, my time is gone. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.